700 miles to the southwest, in the great darkroom at Gateway Film Laboratory of St. Louis, Francis Dollarhide checked the developer in the tank. Hundreds of feet of home movie film from all over the country moved through the tank hourly. Temperature and freshness of the chemicals were critical. This was his responsibility, along with all the other operations until the film had passed through the dryer. Many times a day, he lifted samples of film from the tank and checked them, frame by frame. The darkroom was quiet. Dollarhide discouraged chatter among his assistants and communicated with them largely in gestures. When the evening shift ended, he remained alone in the darkroom to develop, dry, and splice some film of his own. Dollarhide got home about 10 p.m. He lived alone in a big house his grandparents had left him. It stood at the end of a gravel drive that ran through an old and neglected apple orchard. The nearest neighbor was half a mile away. Dollarhide flicked on the lights in each room and looked around. A visitor would not think he lived alone. His grandparents' clothes still hung in the closets. His grandmother's brushes were on her dresser with combings of her hair in them. Her teeth were in a glass on the bedside table. The water had long since evaporated. His grandmother had been dead for 10 years. Satisfied that he was alone in the house, Dollarhide went upstairs, took a long shower, and washed his hair. He felt good, despite his hay fever. Like many people who have undergone extensive rhinoplasty, Dollarhide had no hair in his nose, and hay fever plagued him. He put on a kimono of synthetic material that felt like silk, and lay down on his narrow bed in the room he had occupied since childhood. His grandmother's hairdryer had a plastic cap and hose. He put on the cap, and, while he dried, he thumbed through a new high-fashion magazine. The hatred and brutishness of some of the photographs began to excite him. He swiveled the shade of his reading lamp to light a print on the wall at the foot of the bed. It was William Blake's The Great Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed with the Sun. The picture had stunned him the first time he saw it. Never before had he seen anything that approached his graphic thought. He felt that Blake must have peeked in his ear and seen the Red Dragon. The Red Dragon was all he had had for a long time, was not all he had now. He felt the beginnings of an erection. He had wanted to go through this slowly, but now he could not wait. Dollarhide closed the heavy draperies over windows in the downstairs parlor. He set up his screen and projector. He turned out the lights, laid back, and thumbed the switch to start the projector. A white rectangle sprang on the screen, and then the gray Scotty perked up his ears and ran to the kitchen door, shivering and wagging his stump of a tail. Now Mrs. Leeds came into the kitchen carrying groceries. She laughed and touched her hair. The children came in behind her. A cut to a badly lit shot in Dollarhide's own bedroom upstairs. He is standing nude before the print of the Great Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed with the Sun. He is wearing combat glasses, the close-fitting wraparound plastic glasses favored by hockey players. He has an erection, which he improves with his hand. The difficulty of the next part was evident. A bouncing blur in a harsh movie light became a bed, and Charles Leeds thrashing, Mrs. Leeds sitting up, shielding her eyes, turning to Leeds and putting her hands on him, rolling toward the edge of the bed, legs tangled in the covers, trying to rise. The screen went black for 5 beats, then the tick of a splice. The camera was steady now, on a tripod. They were all dead now, arranged. 2 children seated against the wall, facing the bed, 1 seated across the corner from them, facing the camera. Mr. and Mrs. Leeds in bed, with the covers over them. Mr. Leeds propped up against the headboard, the sheet covering the rope around his chest, and his head lolled to the side. Dollar Hyde came into the picture from the left, with the stylized movements of a Balinese dancer, blood smeared and naked. Except for his glasses and gloves, he mugged and capered among the dead. Now, watching in the parlor of his grandparents' house, Dollar Hyde was covered with a sheen of sweat. His thick tongue ran out constantly, the scar on his upper lip wet and shiny, and he moaned as he stimulated himself. Watching the film was wonderful, but not as wonderful as the acts themselves. Two major flaws, Dollar Hyde felt, were that the film did not actually show the deaths of the leads, and that his own performance was poor toward the end. He seemed to lose all his values. That was not how the Red Dragon would do it. Well, he had many films to make, and with experience he hoped he could maintain some aesthetic distance, even in the most intimate moments. He must press on soon and select his fellow performers. Already he had copied several films of 4th of July family outings. The end of summer always brought a rash of business at the film processing plant as vacation movies came in. Families were mailing their applications to him every day.